Madeleine Ruiz, secretaria general de WILF, va a comentar sobre las exposiciones y vamos a abrir el espacio para preguntas.
Thank you very much, Adili. As you can see, remembers my name. First of all, I would just like to congratulate the organizers in what I think is an extremely intelligent and clever way in which they've put these panels together, because the first panel showed clearly exactly why it is we have come to this impasse where we are now. That everything happens over a period of time. What we are trying to do doesn't just happen in isolation. There is a longevity and a history to this. And that one of the ways in which we've moved from what seemed to be quite a nice idea in Mesopotamia of a matriarchy with a very different set of value systems to where we are now has at least been in part as a result of the use, production and use of arms, which has become a method in which men can perpetrate violence and which create militarized societies. You will have to slow me down because I'm British and we tend to mumble, so. On the way over here, for some obscure reason, I decided it was a good idea to watch Full Metal Jacket. I don't know whether you've seen that film. It's a Stanley Kubrick film from some time ago, which was about the training of young conscripts, young American conscripts, to turn them into these violent alpha male warriors. And of course their training works. That's exactly what's intended to do, to take young boys and transform their masculinities into a violent form of oppression. And there's one part in it which brought the first speaker's intervention together with the second speaker's intervention, because these boys were given their rifles and told, "This is your bitch, you sleep with her." And from then on, they went off to Vietnam, and then it was quite easy for them to contribute to the conflict. Where we are now with 1325 is exactly where we need to be in terms of finding ways to deal with both the longevity of patriarchy and the small arms that is used to perpetrate it. And I say that, and I'm going to see some faces of going, why, how do we do that? It's because the other part, which was mentioned earlier on, which is ideas. Ideas take a long time to implement. So you have your ideas, you have your action, and then you have sometime way off in the future the result that you're looking for, which is exactly how patriarchy dislodged matriarchy and why we're trying to dislodge patriarchy so we can get to some sort of equality. 1325 is one of our tools. And a lot of people are very critical of Security Council 1325, as am I. But our ideas are bigger than Security Council 1325. They come from a much greater history with greater lineage and are more intelligently thought out than I think the drafters of 1325 actually realized. And I think through the intervention of the Spanish section, we can see how creative women have been in translating a Security Council resolution, a dry bit of words on paper, into something which is real and vivid and can be used in a transformative way, but only if we continue to be creative and intelligent in how we do it. And this is what we at WILF are trying to ensure happens. And I want to give you just a simple example, because I'm going to be boring on many occasions during this Congress as to exactly how we can try to make grassroots activism link with international mechanisms using human rights law and translating it back to activities at grassroots level. But I want to give one single example, and that is how we link the control of the arms trade through human rights to the implementation of 1325. Now, Sarah this morning mentioned the arms trade treaty, and how during the discussions, not the arms trade treaty, in the first committee when they were discussing how, whether there was a gender dimension to disarmament, it was then go off to the Human Rights Committee. Well, absolutely, go off to the Human Rights Committee. What a good idea, because that's partly where it belongs. It belongs everywhere. It doesn't just belong in one form, it belongs in the others. So what does Reaching Critical will do but say to us, we need to now start thinking of how we can translate a resolution talking about the control of weapons, in this case it was nuclear, but how do we actually translate that into something which we can use as part of a women, peace and security agenda, which has greater traction than just sitting in one committee. So WILF was the first organization to bring across the Atlantic the concept of using agenda analysis on weaponry into a 1325 human rights discussion. And the outcome of that, we hope, will provide language, or has already provided language, we hope will then support future development of resolutions in the United Nations in New York. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to complete a jigsaw puzzle of international legal frameworks. That was one small step that was taken, but the first one, and that we did for International Women's Day last year. What we will continue to do is to look at how you use the human rights framework in order to make sure that the issue of small arms is actually included. 1325 has not yet been really used in an intelligent way to explain the whole women, peace and security issues in the Human Rights Council or in the various treaty bodies. And I won't go into a great deal of explanation on that now. We have a workshop this afternoon. But essentially, what we're talking about are human rights. So if we want to have those rights articulated in 1325, which are not substantively articulated in that document, but they are in other documents. Many of you were in the peace train and helped to draw up the Beijing Platform for Action, which is still the best document we've got. But 1325 recalls the Beijing Platform for Action. And recalling the Beijing Platform for Action, it also recalls the obligations to reduce military expenditure. So even though it's not explicit in 1325, it's there. And if it's there, it means we, as creative people, can make sure we translate that into human rights and we put it into reports that must go to the Human Rights Council. We put it into reports that must go to the various treaty bodies. And when we have language articulating that, in fact, if you allow for military expenditure, if you allow for the production, sale, and lack of real control of guns, you are actually violating human rights in a way which mitigates against women being able to actively participate, then, in fact, we can invoke the Security Council resolution through human rights into direct action. Now, these are all steps which we must take, and they're all seemingly quite complicated. But if you go to grassroots level, and if you just rethink about what Sarah was saying, in terms of just how many guns are in circulation, what laws need to be put in place to control them, how does that then work its way up into international law, then I think we're beginning to see a picture developing in which together we can make these fundamental changes. But it is about women, the sorts of women that were cited by the Spanish section, standing up and making a difference. Being prepared to be creative, being prepared to take on these issues in a way which doesn't just focus very narrowly on the here and now, but knows that what we're going to do is going to take more than 3 years, more than 5 years, probably more than 10 years. But the fact that we do actually have a pushback now shows that we're beginning to make a difference. Now, this afternoon we have breakout groups where we can actually go into much greater detail on how we're going to make this work. But I think that the people in this room and the range of expertise we've got, from the people working very much at grassroots level to those of us who work at the international level, can start putting this jigsaw properly together in a way that will be transformative. So I'm really looking forward to this Congress being able to deliver on that message.